Gaming Today presents Hash Considerations.
Welcome to the Cash Considerations Podcast. Tonight is Friday, December 11th. You guys will be listening to this over the weekend, Saturday, December 12th. Couple weeks before Christmas, I popped up on my Don Best screen today, preseason NBA basketball. That is going to be left unsaid. We are not talking NBA basketball. But tonight, we have with me Carl Haskell, at Carl Haskell. We have Reynolds, I am Reynolds 2305, producing the show. And our special guest tonight, I can't wait. This is my first time meeting him in person on the phone with a visual. But we've traded text. He's here with us tonight for the entire show. He is Jerry Shoebox. We're just leaving it at that. He's Jerry Shoebox. It's at JJSS64, coming off a recent appearance with the Crackman, at Bill Crackman, on his talk show. He's basically a legend in the business, and we're going to have him for the entire evening. So, Jerry, what's up?
Thanks for having me, brother. Appreciate it. Like we talked off the air, you know, I don't really do much of these, you know, these appearances, but things are changing. Times are changing. You know, we're getting out of the backyard alleys and into the limelight. So I feel more comfortable coming on with a guy like you.
Well, you know, you've been in the same place as I was, and we know a lot of the same people in the same circles. And I'm with you. There's no more hiding. There's no more. People want to talk to us now, when as before they really didn't want to. So we'll get to that in a minute. But I, you know, on our quest to get you to 1,000 followers on Twitter at JJSS64, okay, first question out of the gate, I wrote a little story time about the temperature that you keep your house this week. Yep. And, you know, it got a little traction, and you chimed in. You fucking polar bear, you. Are you serious? You keep your place 63 degrees. Is that true?
Dead serious. 63 degrees. I have it the lowest setting possible. Sometimes when I go to hotels and they got these green codes where you can't go past 67, it drives me nuts. I will preface it, though. I do sleep with a blanket and a comforter. So I'd like it as cold as possible. I want it to be winter in the house. That is not a lie. It's exactly where I got it.
Oh, my God. All right. So obviously you're from somewhere cold. So the first question we usually ask, where are you from?
I grew up in New York. I grew up in the Bronx, and that's where I spent most of my time, high school and college.
Okay. So you start there. You graduate college. How do you get into gambling on sports? And then how do you end up making that first move to where was it the first move?
Margarita Island, Venezuela was the
okay.
first move.
Venezuela okay. So how do you get from one. The Bronx, New York to Curacao? What is the move there?
Okay, so I was working at, like, you know, a kind of mobbed-up restaurant. I was a bartender. The guys who came in, who gave the biggest tip, who had the most money, those guys were bookmakers. That's what they did. And I, you know, I saw the money. My eyes lit up. I was going to Iona College studying accounting over there in New Rochelle, New York. And I said, what are you guys doing? I need to know what you're doing. I got very friendly with the guys. I started betting. I was an idiot just like everybody else. I never won. Started with, you know, losing here and there. And one time the guy said to me, hey, guys are going offshore. We like you. We like your attitude. You know sports betting. Here's what we can offer you. Now, I'm going back to 1997, right? Ooh, before football season
same
starts.
Same year for me. Okay, so go ahead.
They said, we'll give you $100 a day, pay for your rent, and free food. And I said, I'm in.
How old are you at the time?
I guess 97. I don't know. It was probably about 21, 22.
Okay. You know, I was 26, but go ahead.
And I said, this is a no-brainer. I was working at an accounting firm in New York. I was getting on the train. It was dark and it was cold. I was getting off the train. It was dark and it was cold. The only time I saw daylight was lunch. And they used to tell me you got a half an hour for lunch. So I said, you know, this ain't me. I'm not doing this for the rest of my life. What could go wrong? So they said, you're going to Margarita Island, Venezuela. And this is the God's honest truth. I couldn't point to it on a map. I had no idea where I was going. And I didn't speak Spanish. And I said, I'm in. That's true.
So I know for me, my biggest thing, at this point, I'm fighting winter myself, and I'm like, man, I just want to live where there's palm trees. This is bullshit. I was doing the grind. So my biggest fear was telling my mom. I'm the oldest of five, and I'm the first one to go to college. I graduate school with a broadcast journalism degree, and I'm doing the hustle. How am I going to tell my mom, 100% old school Italian, that I'm going to work with some guys in some island? Well, how did you sell it?
Well, if you heard me, you heard me on Trackman. It's so funny that you said this, okay? This is, again, I mean, my story is very original. I want to write a book. I have a lot of things that I can talk about, not enough to put on this program, but I lied. I did what everyone else would do. My father was a retired detective sergeant with the Westchester County Police Department. I could not, for the life of me, he would have killed me. I couldn't tell him where I was going. I told him I was moving to Cincinnati. And let me tell you the reason behind Cincinnati. I picked a place that was, I knew they would never go visit me. I knew nothing about Cincinnati. I'd never been there. We have no ties there. I said, I'm moving to Cincinnati. I got a job in an accounting firm. You know, I'll see you when I see you. So I just got in the car. I jumped on a plane to Venezuela, and I actually told them I was living in Cincinnati. And it took me about a year before I told the truth. A year.
So do you like chili at all? Cincinnati's known for chili.
I had never actually been to Cincinnati. That was a fake place. I never even gone there. I haven't been there since, and that was 23 years ago.
Did you have to get a passport, or was it good just with your birth certificate?
No, I had to get a passport. I had to go get a passport. I did that immediately. I think back then it was $100 for 24-hour service. I went down to Manhattan. I went to the passport office, and it was $100 for expedite. And I promise you, it was probably the last $100 I had to my name.
Yeah, right. So yeah. What did you tell them when you got there? Because I know all I needed was a birth certificate. And when I got to Curacao, they're like, what are you here for? And I was told by the guy that I was coming to work for, tell him you're coming on vacation and something would happen, that it would be okay. Okay, that was the deal?
Exact same thing. We had a guy that would pick everyone up at the airport. I swear to you, he came.
Did he hold a sign up? Did he say shoebox? What did he
very
say?
Very unprofessional. The sign was this big. It looks like he just wrote it on a piece of, you know, when you rip off a piece of paper barely enough, it was about this big, and I couldn't see where it was, and I'm squinting, and I found it.
On YouTube, or for that aren't watching the show, Jerry's it holding up that. An inch. This is a parlay card stub. Was it this big?
It was half or a quarter of that. Half or a quarter. I'm not kidding. That's how he picked me up in the office. And I just, you know, again, you say things are not, there's no limits here. Things are, there's no off limits here. So I'm driving. He's my driver. I'm going in, and he's beeping at every single, you know, I'm in Venezuela, beautiful women all over the place. He's beeping at every single girl. Okay. Every single one. And I said to him, that girl looks a little young to me. I don't understand. What are you doing? And he goes, well, we have the 2-bucket rule here. I'm like, what is that? He goes, if the girl can carry 2 buckets, she's old enough for me. I never forget that. I'll never forget. I'm like, what are you serious? This guy was nuts. I knew I was in the wildest place. I bought a book in the airport. And what it said was Venezuelans are not too keen on time. If someone's wearing a watch, expect them to be off by 2 to 3 hours. If they're not wearing a watch, they can be off by up to 7 hours on the time. And this is all true. It was in a book. And it was 100% true. And you know island life. You lived there.
Oh, island life changed my life. Because when you got there, I don't know. For me, the adjustment was eye-opening at the beginning. Because we're so used to the speed of everything. And we're so used to having everything that we want right at our disposal. So I show up in Curacao. And everything is going, not in slow motion. It is going in reverse. Yes. We called it island time. Nobody wore a watch. Nobody did anything except close from 12 to 2 for siesta. And that's when everybody went to lunch. Schools closed. People went home from work and that was family time. And I remember I would go to McDonald's. There was one McDonald's on the island, and it would take 30 minutes to get your food. So I don't know. It was a big adjustment for me, but it changed my life. It put everything right in my head of what was important and how things should be slowed down. How was your adjustment to living down there coming from the Bronx?
I never adjusted, ever. Ooh. I mean, coming from the Bronx, not only was I from the States, I was from a fast part of the States, Manhattan, you know, on the move, this and that. I do have a good siesta story since you brought it up. My first time ever going back to the States, all right? I spent about 4 consecutive months. I'm going to buy an airline ticket. This is pre-internet. I mean, the internet was just starting.
How long were you down there before you came back the first time?
So I got there in August. This had to be after Super Bowl. So it was probably 6-7 months. I went back in February right after the Super Bowl.
You must have had a good boss because you got out of there 6 months. All right, that's good to know.
So I had no idea what I was getting into. So I had that negotiated coming in.
Genius.
So I was in a travel agency. This is pre-internet. There's no going to American Airlines and buying your ticket. I had to go into the airlines. I waited there online at a travel agency for about 45 minutes. Clock hits 12 o'clock, and they go, okay, sir, you got to come back at 3. I said, what? What are you talking about? We closed for siesta from 12 to 2. I said, really? Okay, that's great. What do you want to finish the people in here first before you send them home? He goes, nope. Everyone's got to go and come back at 3 o'clock. I said, you know what? I'll be coming back, but not to this store ever again for the rest of my life. Like, they literally kicked me out of the store without my ticket and told me to come back 3 hours later. And people look at me like I'm crazy when I tell these stories. You know it's true.
100%. It's absolutely 100% true. And I know you didn't go back, but after you there a little bit of time, you get it. And like, that's the, when you become that really changed my life. Like dropping my clothes off at the washerette. All you had to do was bring the bag
like
of clothes. I don't know what it cost, but whatever it was worth it because we didn't have a dryer. A dryer was a luxury item in Curacao. Nobody had dryers. We got there, we did laundry. I said to the guys that I had one roommate. I had a cycle of roommates, but the first one that was there, I'm like, dude, where's the dryer? He's like, dryer. He goes, you put your shit out on the line out there in the back. I'm like,
yep, exactly. And it smells like dirt and sun.
I smelled like shit. I did it one time. I said, I'm never doing it. Yeah, I never did it again. And I said, where do you get your clothes washed? And there was a call to wash. It was a washerette. They didn't have H's. It was W-A-S-S-E-R-H-E-T-T-E. Washerette. And they were some big women, some island women, as sweet as pie. They looked all like Aunt Jemima. You drop your clothes off, you could have a body in there. They would wash it, press it, clean it, and put it in a shrink wrap thing and tell you, you'll be back this afternoon. I pick it up. You leave them a guilder or two, an extra guilder. In Curacao, that was the denomination of money of a guilder. Forget it. Your shit was smelling fresh and really, really tight. So,
well, you bring up a guilder, okay? I got to bring up a funny story for you guys.
Please.
So when I went to Venezuela, okay, like I told you, I didn't go into the whole story, but I made some moves. I met these guys. I was gambling. Obviously, I wasn't winning. I was completely broke. And I said, I'm going to take this trip down there. On the plane, this airline was called Servivenza. It's a Venezuelan airline. It went New York to Caracas direct, okay? It's out of business now. I get on the plane by myself. I look on the floor, and I see a $100 bill, whatever you want to call it. It's $100. So what do? I pull the old Bronx move. I put my foot on top of it. I step on top of it. I have my foot on top of it for about 3 hours. I'm slowly dragging it towards me. When nobody's looking, I stick it in my pocket. So I'm thinking, okay, whatever this is worth, it's 100 of something, man. I'm doing okay. The driver, when I get there, I said, hey, man, how much is this worth? He grabs it, he tears it up and throws it away. It was about 3 cents. I was about 3 cents at that time, whatever it was. I'm thinking I got 100 at worst. No. I don't know anything. I never left the country. I just got a passport. I'm thinking 100 at worst, maybe half. Maybe I got $50. I had 3 cents to show me the periodicals, the Sunday newspapers, where toothpaste was 5,000. So go figure that out. That was it burst my bubble very early, my Venezuelan experience. I thought I had 100 and I had 3 cents.
Well, at least you got a 1 cent per hour with your foot on that thing on the plane. So you earned a cent an hour to get this guy to rip it up. But you got a story that's worth a million. So that's worth it right there.
And I thought it was so smooth. I stuck my foot on. I pulled all the moves I grew up in New York with. You know, I'm not trying to grab anything. Just got my foot on. I'll slowly inch it towards me, stick it in my pocket with nobody looking. And that backfired.
I'm speaking with the shoebox right now. He's at JJSS64 on Twitter we got to get this dude to 1,000 followers. So please, after the show, go push follow with Jerry. He's getting all over. This is a guy that can tell a story and likes the Twitter thing. So you got to keep it going. So you go to Venezuela first. You take the trip home. You come back. What's the next move after that?
All right. Let me give you another quick story with the trip, okay? Because that went a little weird. So I first go home. You know the deal. It's hard to get money offshore. You know, it's not easy. So
did you fly home with any cash or anything like this?
The other way around, buddy. So I go home and he says, I need you to pick up money to go pay payroll. You know, so I don't want to do anything illegal. So I pick up $9,900. I meet this guy. He gives me $9,900. And we have a special kind of cigarettes that he smoked. I don't know what they were. They were some exotic brand that you couldn't get in Venezuela. So I have a brown paper bag with $9,900 in it and cigarettes. Okay, that's what I have. I come in. I fly to Caracas. I get into a taxi cab. I leave the bag in the taxi cab.
Left the bag?
Yep. And I'm working for a mobbed up boss. I'm ready. I'm going to get killed, right? He's going to kill me. That's what's going to happen. This is how this is going to go down. My parents are going to figure out I'm not in Cincinnati anymore. The guy circles around the airport and tells me, sir, you left your bag in the car. Never looked inside it. Never looked inside it. He just thought they were cigarettes or whatever. Gave my heart was almost had a heart attack at 21 years old. My heart was racing, pounding. I'm like, do I get back on this plane? I'm making $100 a day. Do the math. It's going to take me forever. $10,000 might have been $1 million to me at that time.
You ain't ever leaving.
I mean, you know, I was like, I'm done. I mean, I'm going to work my whole life just to give this guy back his money, or he's going to back alley me like the old movies in Casino. I didn't know what was going to happen. Thank God. I don't know what his name was. Thank you, Mr. Taxi Driver. He brought it back, and I gave him the $9,900 and the cigarette.
Oh, my God.
That was my first trip back, so that was interesting.
That's a good one. I mean, you really, you don't fuck that up again, though. Like that one.
No, that's a one-timer.
Yeah, that's what we call it in the business as a one-off. Mo, who is not here tonight, would say that's a one-off right there.
Yeah, that is definitely a one-off. So that's how that went. And you know how this operation goes. Like when I was a kid betting, I thought I knew everything. We went into Margarita Island. I was working at the time, and I would still say this to anyone, probably the sharpest bookmaker I ever met still to this day. He went bad because he had a wife and a daughter. He was a fugitive from the U.S. Justice Department, and they used to visit him once a month. Then it became, you know, once every month. Then it became once 6 months. Then he didn't see them for like a year. He got involved with drugs. You know how the whole snowball happens.
Oh, yeah.
Crap down there. This guy was the sharpest guy I ever met. And then all of a sudden we're taking 100 dime bets and his eyes are rolling behind his head. And I'm like, I'm a clerk. I'm a phone clerk. And I'm saying, hey, do you want to move this Titans game? Well, they weren't the Titans at the time. They were the Oilers. Hey, do you want to move this Oilers game? You want to move the Steelers game? And he, you know, went from the sharpest guy I ever met to falling asleep 10 minutes to one on an NFL Sunday.
Oh, no.
Needless to say, we lost a couple of million in about a month's time. The office exploded. People went in different directions. Some went to Costa Rica. I went to Curacao. Do I know why? No, I just had a better relationship with the guys that went to Curacao. Another place, I had no clue where it was on the map. Again, maybe I'm being ignorant American, but it's true. I didn't know where it was. I had no idea. I was told it was on the equator. And so I got to backtrack for a second, because in Venezuela, $100 a day, just to put that in perspective, the local Venezuelans were making $200 per month. That was the average salary in Venezuela. $200 per month. I was making $100 a day. So in 2 days, I made what they made in a month. So I lived like a king. I had the time of my life. If Hugo Chavez does not take over.
Did you work every day?
I worked 6 days. I try to work every day. They forced us to have a day off. I would have done every day if I could. I did every holiday. I was money hungry. That's all I cared about. You know, we had to pay 3-1, 3 times, 3x on holidays to the locals because nobody wanted to work. I signed up for every possible, you know, I was there every single day, every Saturday, Sunday,
3X?
Every holiday.
You guys gave them 3x?
You had to. That was the law. It was the law. 300%.
Did you find it? I found it so hard for a long time because I was doing this. Our stories are so similar. And when we get really time, we're going to sit somewhere to have dinner and we're going to end up having breakfast because it's going to just go and go and go. But when you first get there and you're training these women and you're trying to tell them, you got to come to work. There's games. You got to come to work. And you had to like drag them kicking and screaming.
Yeah. 100%.
By the end of my stay, they couldn't wait to come to work because they were getting paid and they understood that you were going to be good for it. You just had to come to work. Yep. Even if you fucked it up, you needed to be here because was it all phone wagering when
it
you were there?
Pre-internet, all phone. So we had about 80 deep in the phone. 80 people.
80
people in the phone.
Wow. Okay. So, I mean, I think at our peak in the office I was in, we had 40. But so I get it. So you got a big operation. Okay. So go back to there. You pick up and you go to Curacao. Did you live in Punda or Otrabanda or what?
I lived in Otrabanda. And I had a wake-up call because, as I told you, everybody, I was making in 2 days what they made in a month. I take a taxi. In Venezuela, the taxis were $1 to go anywhere I wanted to go. I took a taxi from the Curacao airport to the Denny's. Do you remember the Holiday Beach? Remember the Denny's there?
I ate there every day for
$27 for the taxi. And then I got a milkshake and a cheeseburger. It was another $20. I got hit for $50. I'm like, this isn't Venezuela, my friend. This is a little bit different.
Nope. Curacao was eye-opening for me because everything was expensive. Very expensive. I mean, the USA Today newspaper was $5.
And it was probably from 3 days ago. And it wasn't
It was 2 days late. You didn't get the Monday paper till Wednesday.
Yeah, exactly
that's absolutely
right.
Absolutely right. Yes. So that's when I actually stopped reading the paper when I was down there. But we used to go to the grocery store and there just wasn't stuff there. And then if you did go to the grocery store and there was stuff there, you blew at least 3 days pay on whatever you were getting because it was so expensive. So,
it was an eye opener.
Yeah. So you're in Otrabanda, which for the listeners, Punda is one side. Otrabanda is the other side.
Literally the other side. Otra,
right. That's,
other.
That's what that means. There's a big bridge in the middle where the cruise ships come in. It goes up. So you're on one side or the other. Now, listen, when I was down there, and I was only there a year or two before you, our paths didn't cross. But
no, it's weird. It didn't happen.
Otrabanda was a little bit like the hood part of the island.
Yeah.
Now, we go down there looking like we do where we're from, you know.
Flip-flop, you know, backwards.
Yeah. You know. Everyone knows who we are. Like, everyone knew who I was, and they thought I was a millionaire. All the guys working up on the compound across from Mambo Beach, that's where we were.
Yep.
They thought, you know, I mean, we had a guy, a security guard, that didn't let people in. You know, you had to get in to get up there and park your car up amongst the goats. Did you ever see any more goats than you ever in your life than you did when you were in Curacao?
No, there was goats everywhere. I used to play a lot of golf too. There's goats all over the place. It was shocking how many goats there were just kind of randomly wandering around.
So, did you play golf on the sand greens when I was there?
No. I wasn't. I played Blue Bay, which is the golf course on the ocean over there. Kind of opened up right around when you were leaving. I would never pay money to play on. You know, if your listeners don't understand what he's talking about, you walked around with a mat and like you put the mat on the ground, put your ball on top of it, hit it, and then took the mat with you again because you were playing in like an old oil refinery on sand. No,
The greens were not green. They were hard pressed sand. And you had to actually, I did it one time and I said, what the fuck is this? I wanted to play golf so bad and I got an afternoon off. We worked 7 days a week. We didn't have a choice because there was only two other Americans down there. So we worked every day, which was fine because we had the same deal. Set up, you know, gave us a car, you know, drive to the windmill, turn left. All the street signs were in Dutch.
Oh, wait, how many times did your tires get stolen or did your car get stolen down there? You rented from the same place I did. My tires got stolen like every 2 months.
Knock on wood, we must have been protected. They didn't touch my tires or my car. Thank God, because I wouldn't have known where to go to get in new tires or get it fixed.
I lost tires about 6 times in about 2 years.
Did you eat at the food trucks all over the island?
Of course. I love the food truck. Okay, now you keep giving me memories because the food trucks I love. But one thing really threw me off, and you won't know this unless you were in Curacao, okay? They had a pork chop sandwich. Pork chop boned in. Are you out of your mind to see this soup that's missing here? All right. That's what happened. I didn't know it was a bone. I ordered a pork chop sandwich. I didn't know it was a bone in there. Lost a tooth. Tell me if I'm lying. You're supposed to eat around the bone. How do you do that? How did that happen?
100% that's true. I actually have some pictures somewhere of some food trucks because we used to get the conch. We used to get the fish.
Yeah.
Because the locals, you had to ask the girls all the time, what do you eat? What do you like? I used to ask the girls everything because I didn't know what the hell I was doing, and I really felt like a fish out of water. Did you swim at Mambo Beach?
Of course I did. But I mean, it's such a small island. Did you do the sea aquarium with the dolphins and all that? Swimming at Mambo Beach and I did everything. I got to do everything.
Yep. So our office was up on the hill across from Mambo Beach. For those of you who don't know, Google it. Look at the Google Maps and then, you know, just look at the pictures. You get a beautiful topless beach, 5 minutes walking maximum down the hill across the street. And don't get me wrong, topless is nice, but you get the good with the bad. And that was the first time I ever saw some topless, like 70-year-old mamas.
The ones you didn't want to see.
Yeah, they had to pick them up on each side of the Chase Lounge when they got up. Like, it was just one of those. So,
I know all about it, my man.
Yeah, that was my lunch break. So you're down there in Curacao. Where do you go? Is there another move after that, or do you come home?
Yeah, so there was a couple of moves. So I moved to Curacao, leaving Venezuela, which was paradise on earth. It was my favorite place on earth. Going to Curacao was a culture shock. I hated it. I couldn't stand it. I didn't like it. I worked there. I had been just a phone clerk in Venezuela, but I moved up to be like an assistant manager. I still wasn't moving lines yet. I did get that opportunity in Curacao. I became, you know, we don't call it a trader. We call it a line manager, you know, helm, whatever you want to call it. We never called it a trader, but that's what it was, you know, kind of a junior trader. And, I just hated it, man. It was expensive. I didn't like the people. I didn't like the food. I didn't like anything about it. And I jumped ship and I went to Costa Rica. And I got to Costa Rica and I said, I like this place. This is cool. It's nice weather. There's restaurants. It's a city. And then
is this under the ABC Island flag?
No, but I know the ABC. No, it wasn't ABC Islands, but it was. I kind of danced around that ABC Islands guy. Billy P over there kind of danced around him. I never worked with him, but yeah.
Okay.
So I go to Costa Rica and I said, I like this. Okay. There was a golf course. It was nice restaurants. But then have you ever lived there? I don't know if you have. The rain came and it never stopped for 9 months. I came in the dry season. I had fun. I got into the rainy season. And I said, you know, Curacao's not that big. It rained every day. I'd never bought an umbrella in my entire life. The first time I ever bought an umbrella, I got to 23 years of age without ever buying an umbrella. I had to buy an umbrella in Costa Rica. And I just said, you know what? Curacao's not that bad. I kind of made some phone calls. I kind of made some moves. I spent a year and a half in Costa Rica, and then I'm back to Curacao, and I probably spent another 10 years there, believe it or not.
You lived in Curacao for 10 years
after? Yes, after that, from 05 to 15. Yep. I did.
Okay.
I did that. I did 15 years, and I kind of bounced around. I did my own. I learned a lot of business from a lot of people. I rented the same office as Pinnacle, so those guys are good friends of mine. So over at Pinnacle, the original Pinnacle, not Pinnacle that's now, the original guys from Pinnacle. You know, I have lunch with those guys every day. I learned a lot of stuff from those guys. Never worked for them, but learned a lot of stuff. I branched out, and believe this or not, I was probably one of the first, if not the first, to branch into PPA, you know, the paperhead, you know, a lot of people, you know, when you're booking, you know, you're getting stiffed by people aren't paying. These are headaches that you can't deal with being trapped in an island in the middle of nowhere. So we said, why don't we just service them, you know, just charge, you know, X amount of dollars and you're going to laugh. Do you know what the prices of PPA right now are? Do you have any idea?
I don't. What? No, tell me.
Right. You can probably get, $5-$6 a head per week for a customer, okay? Back then, I was charging $35. So I was getting $35 to write a customer. They charge about $6 now. So we were like one of the original ones to do that. It was six times as expensive. And I had people lined up at my door because it was the first time that Joe Schmo could be his own bookie. You know what I mean? Like he just put some customers in. We just service it. Just charge them a fee. We didn't care if their guys won $1 million or lost $1 million. And now, you know, it's a, you know, little guys like me get pushed around when the big companies come in, you know?
Yeah. Wow. All right. So last question before we get to our stuff here.
Let's go, brother.
Actually, I have two. So what's the future for you right now? What are you looking to do? Where are you looking to go? Where's the shoebox? What's the next move?
Yeah, so I wish I had an answer to that. As you do know, and most of the listeners do not, because I'm very private on my Twitter. I don't really announce it. I did have a cup of coffee at Circa, and those guys were amazing. Sharpest room I've ever been in. I worked there for 3 months, and I'm just going to be honest. Those guys were awesome. They were great. It's just, it's no money, man. I can't make what I made. I was making half of what I was making in 2004. Not going to mention numbers on your program. It was half of 15 years ago. I gave it a shot. I tried. I took a look at it. It's just not for me. Right now, I'm just betting. I'm looking for a better opportunity. Who knows if it's the media, if it's back on the other side of the counter. If it is, I mean, I doubt it'll be with like a William Hill type, but if something did come, you know, come across with the numbers right, I'm willing to do anything, my man. It's just like, I don't have a plan. I'm betting. I'm okay. Comfortable playing golf, playing some poker, having some fun. But if my phone rings, I'm not going to say no if the number's right.
Very good, sir. Last question. Who's buying dinner when we get together, me or you?
Oh, I'm buying because, you know, you famously called me a ghost because you said I ghosted you. Just so you guys know, inside information, like we texted back and forth, never met, had similar backgrounds, Curacao without ever knowing each other, being in Vegas, kind of, we played phone tag for about 3 months. You never did meet. I do remember sitting in the Bellagio Sportsbook waiting for you after you pulled the late shift and you didn't show up. I don't know if that was payback or if that was a fake. I don't know what that was, but I'll buy dinner on me.
All right. He's at AJSS64 on Twitter, Jerry Shoebox. He's staying with us for the rest of the show, boys and girls. Dude, I can't wait to get to know you better. We may have a show called the Curacao Kids. And
I don't blame you, man.
Stories that no one else we got stories that no one else can tell. I can tell you that right now.
Not only that no one else can tell, the people sometimes don't even believe it. What do you tell them that? They just don't even believe it.
Yeah, but
I'm like, yeah.
They got to believe it. We're telling the truth. Why would we lie? We don't do that. Not where we're from and we're not going to start. Yep. All right. It's going to be the run and shoot 7. It's going to be laying or taking, and then it's going to be take a minute and out. All right. Before we get there, I just want to mention to be sure to sign up for the Gaming Today newsletter. Which is weekly, and it highlights the latest stories from the sports betting and casino industry world. All you have to do is put your email address in the box on the GamingToday.com homepage. All right, fellas, let's get to it. All right, we got NFL Run and Shoot 7, least to beast, plus 2. Carl, excellent job. How are you feeling, sir? Are you still with me? I know it's late back east.
I am. I'm awake. I'm good to go.
Carl is here. He came up with the Run and Shoot 7. He is the coordinating producer of the show. He is the social media manager of the show. And who's not here tonight is Mo Pearson at He D's Takes. I think he's going to the bar mitzvah in New York. I don't know where he's at, but he's not here. So we're going to pretend that he is. We're going to talk football. We're going to give sides, totals. If you got a pick, play it. If you don't, say it. We're going with the bonus 2 first. It's the first game I want to mention is my nemesis. The Saints are playing the Eagles, okay? The Saints are now 7.5. This fucking Eagles team is nothing but aggravation. It's like that old girlfriend that just won't leave you alone. You tell her you broke up. She keeps calling. She keeps getting all gussied up, looking all nice, giving you that spread, saying, hey, look at me. You want 8.5? You want 9.5? Come on. And then they throw that one in there against the Seahawks with that miracle cover and go for 2 late, which was still ridiculous. They're 7.5-point dogs to the Saints. Jerry, kick us off. Are you got a side here? Saints, Eagles, 7.5, 47.
Yeah, I mean, I already laid 6.5 on this game, but I'm going to play the game for you. I'd still lay the 7.5. I don't believe in Jalen Hurts. I don't think he's got it. He had a miracle 4th-and-18 touchdown pass, and now all of a sudden he's a starter. Go ahead and lay it with the Saints.
Carl, agree, disagree?
Yeah, first thing, the formula automatically kicks out the Eagles, so that's why you don't have it. But I get you adding it. Saints all the way on this one. Jalen Hurts is a long way to go here before he's going to compete with the Saints and stay within a touchdown. So Saints all the way.
Our man Allen did the formula before Carl, and really Carl just proved it that he's taking it to another level because he knows it's there. It's exactly right. The Eagles are kicked out. But I saw the number and I said, is this one worth dabbling? And if my guy Jerry gave me a little inkling or push, I was going to say, all right, maybe this is the week to get back in the put your toe in the water with the Eagles. But he already laid 6.5 and says lay 7.5. This fucker's good up to 8, 8.5. Easy. Forget about it. The other game that I have to mention, I call it the two-point conversion, the two-star games. This is the shit game of the week of two shit bird teams. We may be the only podcast in the world talking about it, but I find it very intriguing. Dallas Cowboys, they're 3-9. They're favored on the road, -3.5 over the Bengals, who are 2-9-1, but the Bengals are 7-5 against the number. Are you kidding me? Jerry, am I an idiot? I don't love the Bengals. I love the Bengals plus the points. How in the hell is Dallas favored over anybody?
No, you're on the right side there. You got to side with the home dog at +3.5. As bad as the Bengals are, they've been a little feisty. They've been beating around some teams. I mean, they are 2-9-1. That extra hook is what's going to put you over the top. You got to take the home dog with the 3.5.
Carl, hit me with something here, please.
Yeah, I'm going to hit you with something. Here's my – you won't be able to see it on the podcast, but here's my sheet that I use every week with all of my games. You see this really big black X up here? That's the Patriots game. Automatic big black X. You see this one down here? Dallas and Cincinnati. Big X. I'm staying away.
For the YouTube feed, if you – please, you got to share that with everyone. For the listeners on your – wherever you find your podcast, Carl held up a big sheet, and it's very detailed, and it's got highlights. I got my own right here. It's all nice and neat, highlights. I know Shoebox over there, he knows it all in his head. He's got it already done. He's got a big X through it. That's a big Xbox. We're going to use that from now on. You can play Xbox. The kids are playing it. We've got Xboxes here. Forget about it. All right. Let's go. Least the Beast. Number 7, the Washington football team off a huge upset, ending the Pittsburgh Steelers' undefeated season. Are 3-point dogs to the San Francisco 49ers playing in Glendale, Arizona. They're laying 3, and it's not at home, but they are at home. What? The total's 43. They're both 5-7. It's an elimination game, essentially. Although 5-7, you're leading the division in the NFC East. 7-5 for the Washington football team, ATS. Niners, 5-7. Let's switch the order here. Carl, you go first. You put it on the list. Tell me something.
Yeah, I keep looking at this line, and I think it's backwards. I feel like San Francisco should be getting the points in this game. Washington hasn't lost by more than a field goal in over 2 months, and they're getting 3.5 points in this. This is Washington for me all the way.
Listen, this guy this is his second podcast of his life, Jerry, and we got him out of New Hampshire. It's a back east thing. I mean, you've been living in the islands. You've seen a lot of crazy bullshit lines and a lot of things. Why is this line San Francisco -3, and who do you like?
Well, here again, there's Washington football team is pretty bad football team, but the one thing they got is they got 4 studs on the defensive line. They got 4 number ones up there. They dominate the trenches for a bad team. That's what keeps them in there. I think they can shut down the 49er rushing game. There's a reason why this line is so low. Not only is it so low, it opened 4, and now we're looking at a 3. Washington will dominate the trenches, and if Shanahan can't run the ball, he don't have much.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy. All right. Jerry froze up. We're going to keep moving. That's it. Jerry, close it. If you can hear us, Jerry, close your thing and come back. Reynolds will get you back. All right. Well, it sounded like he liked Washington too, Carl. So it's me and you right now. Let's run it through until Jerry gets back. I like Washington too. And this one's for Dr. Greg. He's at Greg P 1701. He can't get on the show. He's not going to be on the show, but Greg P knows the wrong team favored. That's what we used to say back in the day when we ran it like this. And this is wrong team favored. Washington money line continues.
Yep.
Number six, Least the Beast, Cardinals, -2.5 on the road at the Giants, who just keep winning, lead the division with the Redskins. I'm sorry, the Washington football team at 5-7. They're 8-4 against the number. They're getting points at home. Again, you want to talk about wrong team favorite. You stole the line from the last game. I can't see this any other way. The Giants are a play. Just forget about the points. Take them on the money line. 2.5 is nice, but +140 or 150 is better.
Yep.
Would anything? That's it?
No, same. I mean, I said it last week that the Cardinals were a Hail Mary away from being 0-4 over the last 5 weeks or 4 weeks. Now they're a Hail Mary away from being 0-5 the last 5 weeks. Giants, on the other hand, won 4 in a row. Two teams going two opposite directions. This is Giants all the way, money line, bank it.
Okay. Yep, I don't know. I can't see it any other way. No. Number five, Vikings and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. No. Tampa Bay Buccaneers off a bye. The Vikings off an overtime. Everything we needed, everything we had, victory against the Jacksonville. Jaguars.
Yeah.
The line's only 6.5. The total's 52.5. Vikings are both 6-6 against straight up in the spread. We got 7-5 for the Buccaneers, but also 6-6 against the number.
Yeah.
This is going to be the number one game selected on most cards as far as favorites. The question I'm asking is, why is this less than 7? Yeah. And I'm asking it because I'm actually thinking of diving in with the Vikings. I don't like the game. I wouldn't bet it. But if forced, I would really hold my nose and say, give me Minnesota in a game that's going to be ugly. No. Okay.
No. I know you've been doing this a long time, and you got some tenure on me. But Minnesota beat Green Bay, and other than that, they beat Houston and Detroit and Jacksonville and Carolina and Chicago—a bunch of garbage.
Ooh.
Tampa Bay, on the other hand, they've lost 5 games. They lost to the Saints twice. They lost to Chicago when Chicago was good. Yeah, they lost to the Chiefs. They lost to the Rams. Those are some good teams. Here's the deal. Tampa Bay does not lose to shit teams. Minnesota is a shit team.
Okay.
That's Tampa Bay, it's 6.5. It can be 10 as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
Tampa Bay's winning this one.
Talk me right off of that. That's perfect. That's why we have the show, and I hope we can talk the listeners into a winner when they were thinking about a loser. So I like it. That's really good stuff right there. Number four is Monday night. This is a great matchup. The Baltimore Ravens are favored at Cleveland. The Cleveland Browns are fucking 9-3. They are still in the mix to win the division when the Steelers are 11-1. The Browns are really only 5-7 against the number, though. The Ravens, I mean, they kind of saved the season, you know, Monday night or Tuesday night or whatever the hell night that was. They destroyed Dallas, as they should have, laying a big number. I'll let you go first here with this one. Ravens, Browns, Ravens 2.5, 2.5 now on top. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, I think Baltimore got right last week against Dallas. They had a tough streak. They had the whole COVID thing against the Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago. Both of these teams can run the ball. That's the thing that really stands out to me is the Ravens can run. They run – these two teams are first and third in run percentage, and the only team that's in between them is the Patriots because they can't throw. So these guys run like crazy. I don't think that the Browns are going to be able to stop the Ravens' run. So I think the Ravens are going to outrun them by more than 2.5 points here. So I like Baltimore.
Knowing this and knowing the way the Browns played last week, they played a perfect first half. I mean, it was perfect.
Yep.
Would you say over or under 46.5?
Yeah. The thing is here, if they run this much, that chews up the clock. The clock keeps running. You're not throwing any completions. The clock's going to keep running, which tends to lend itself to fewer scoring opportunities because the clock's running. I think I like the under here. The problem is both running games are explosive. You can run off either of these guys can run a 75-yard touchdown and suddenly you've got a 12-second time of possession and you got 7 points. I tend to think under because I think defensively they'll be okay, but okay. I could, like I said, they could suddenly score 21 points in 30 seconds, these two teams.
That's what I'm thinking. That's why I asked you, because the narrative, the storylines, I do all these shows all week. You guys can follow me on Twitter, at SportsBKConSig. I'm trying to do as much as I can. I'm trying to get out there, and it helps when you handicap it, when you listen and you hear all these things. That's the narrative of this game. It's going to be a running game. It's going to be a clock-moving game. And I'm running to bet the over here because of that reason alone, the explosiveness. Somebody's Chubb is breaking a long run. Dobbins or somebody or Lamar for the Ravens, right. They're going to get a run quick, and this game's going to be over the total. And you're going to go, how did that get there? That's how it did. So I like over. I like Cleveland, but as a Steeler guy, let's go Ravens. Just kind of give us a little distance and let us get some breathing room.
Yep.
Number three. We're getting to the shit here. And again, our man Mo is not here, but it's going to still make the list because they're the Dolphins.
Yep.
Chiefs -7 in Miami. The total's 50.5 down from up from initial number of 49. Chiefs are 11-1, but they're only 6-6 against the spread. Yep. But the Dolphins, who are 8-4, they're 9-3 against the number. Yep. This is the one that's getting me.
Yeah.
I'm going like this, and I'm hearing all these people tell me on all these shows how the Chiefs can't cover. They don't cover. They don't. They're not trying in the second half. They're not putting teams away in the second half. They got to go to Florida. They got to play Miami, who's got a good defense, a great coach, all this shit. This is the public dog of the week, gentlemen. This one is going down. This is going hard because the Chiefs have the Saints next week, and that's the other thing. This is the look-ahead game. They're going to go there. All of that very well may happen. But when everybody's saying it, I'm going to say, nah, give me the Chiefs here. I'm going to lay it again. You got me in Tampa with the hook. You got me in fucking what was the last game? You got me again there with Denver.
Yep, Denver.
Barely. I had in-game. Yep. I had in-game. I laid 3.5, but I laid 6.5 as well. So they got me with the hook there.
Yeah.
I think the Chiefs. Are you buying this Dolphins hype?
This is the thing. The problem I have is Kansas City's won 4 in a row, and none of them have been by more than a touchdown. 2 points, 4 points, 3 points, 6 points.
Ooh.
Against some not good teams, against Denver, against Carolina. Mm. And plus, Tua is not Patrick.
No.
And I think Mahomes is more than 7 points better than Tua is, but Miami's got a great defense.
They do.
And I keep looking at this game, trying to find a reason that Miami's going to lose by more than 7 points, and I can't find it.
Okay.
So I keep going back and forth on this, and for that reason, I'm just staying away.
So your Patriots pretty much ended their season yesterday.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, we will get to that. But looks like the Dolphins are going to make the playoffs. In your mind right now, are the Dolphins a team – as constructed with Tua starting, that's going to go to a cold weather city and win a playoff game?
Yeah. If you asked me that question and said Fitzpatrick was playing, guy that's been around the league, he's got the experience, I might have a different answer. I haven't seen enough out of Tua yet to be able to say, yeah, they can go to Pittsburgh, they can go to Indy, they can go to Kansas City and win a game. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. They've got 4 more weeks to figure that out. I think defensively they can contain some teams. I think they can contain Pittsburgh. I guess we're going to find out Sunday if they can contain Kansas City or not.
Okay. So Miami 7-1 straight up and 7-1 ATS in their last 8 games.
Yeah.
The only game they didn't cover was in Denver, and it wasn't even that cold. Tua has never played in the cold, ever. He's never played in the cold. They're not going to Pittsburgh or Kansas City or anything in my mind, I don't think.
No.
To win a playoff game. Yep. Number two on the list, the Colts, the Raiders. This one, Colts -3, 52 is the total. The Colts are 8-4, still alive to win the division, 7-5 against the number. Raiders are both 7-5, ATS and straight up.
Yep.
I hate this game. I don't know what to make of this game. I don't have a side. I don't have a total. I'm crossing this off the list. I have no idea. Tell me something.
Yeah, I think the problem here is the Raiders. You don't know who they are.
No idea.
You know, I said it last week, and funny, I texted this to you over the weekend. I told my kids I did this podcast, and my kids are in their, you know, late 20s. They kind of know a little bit.
What are their names, Carl? What are the boys' names?
I got Kevin is the older one. He's 28, and then the younger one is 26. That's Aaron.
All right, so Kevin and Aaron, go ahead. Tell Aaron. What would you text me?
Yeah, so I texted him, and I said, hey, I did this podcast. Check it out. And my oldest one says, wow, that's pretty cool. Nice job. The youngest one says, how the hell did you not take the Raiders?
Against the Jets.
Against the Jets. So I was lucky enough, I got to text him on Monday morning and say, hey, by the way, the Raiders didn't cover against the Jets. And same thing here. I don't know what's going to happen with this Raiders team. Is it going to be the team that blew out Kansas City? Or not, didn't blow out, but beat Kansas City? Or is it going to be the team that was a play away from losing to the Jets? I think the Colts are a little more consistent. I feel more comfortable with the Colts, so I'm going Colts are going to hold them down and win by at least 3 points here.
Okay. I'll go with you. I have no idea. Last game on the list is the game of the week. It is the now 11-1 Pittsburgh Steelers traveling to Buffalo. Buffalo's 9-3. Also coming off a Monday night. They coming off a Monday night game in which they housed the San Francisco 49ers. They're 7-5 against the number. Steelers are 8-4 against the number.
Yep.
I got one piece of information for this game. It came out Friday today in the afternoon. It's our man Sammy P.
Yep.
It's the gift that keeps on giving on the Chicken Dinner podcast at SP Shoot is Sammy P. And I get it early because we set lines now. We're setting lines for what the bartender's pick is going to be. In which game do we think he's going to play? The Buffalo game against the Steelers was in the field. I didn't think there was a chance in hell he'd pick the Bills.
Yep.
But I didn't know. But am I happy? Hell yeah. Yep. Bartender's on the Bills. Give me the Steelers money line for all of it.
Yeah,
I mean, seriously, we talked about it last week. He took down Arizona last week.
Yep.
Is he taking down the Bills this week?
He's taking down the Bills this week. So
First
of all, trust me from experience. I know that it's better to be going into the playoffs at 15-1 than it is to be at 16-0. So you should feel a lot better about that. The thing that jumped out to me, I'm looking at this game, and I'm looking at the scoring for these guys, right? Pittsburgh has scored 334 points this season.
Okay.
Buffalo scored 333. That's a one-point differential between the two teams. However, Buffalo has given up 306 points.
Okay.
Pittsburgh, 211.
Almost 100 points difference?
Almost 100-point defensive difference. This is all Pittsburgh for me. Money line, anti-bartender, book it.
Oh, my God, that's wonderful. Look at that shit. You coming with the good stuff tonight, Carl.
All about the numbers, man.
God, it is all about the numbers. All right, that's our run and shoot seven. That's all of it we got right there. Let's do laying and taking before we get to the read and the take a minute and get out of here. Jerry, the Steelers, $100. He had 100 that was worth $3. We got 100 that's really 100. He's trying to get back in. I don't know, Jerry, if you're getting back in or not, but that was it right there. That was good. All right, laying or taken. Here we go, Carl. We are on the clock, sir. Alabama minus 32 against Arkansas. Laying or taken?
Taken.
You're taking against Bama?
Taken.
I got to lay it. Bama's the cash ringer, the cash machine. Wisconsin minus 2 at Iowa. I'll go first. I'm taking.
Taking. I'm just going to set the precedent here, man. I'm taking an almost every single game this week.
Okay. No, show your hand. That's good. I mean, this is it for college football.
Yep.
There's only conference championship games after this. They changed the rules. They fucked Indiana. They got Ohio State in.
Yep.
So, you know, now we can change the rules and, you know, you can do whatever you want here. It's laying or taking.
Yep.
Penn State minus 15 against Michigan State at Penn State. Laying or taking?
Yep. So, Penn State's burned me 2 weeks in a row. I'm taking them. I'm taking the points this week.
You're taking Michigan State?
Taking Michigan State.
So I've been on the wrong side of Penn State for 2 weeks now, too, and I was going against them. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to lay it. I'm going to lay it with Penn State. One of us has got to be fucking right.
That's right.
LSU, Florida. Florida is minus 23.5 against LSU. LSU got spanked, embarrassed, just killed by Alabama.
Yep.
I'm laying.
Laying.
Okay. There we go. Illinois against Big Ten West champion Northwestern. I don't know why in the hell Northwestern is even playing this game. They're in the Big Ten championship. They got to play Ohio State, who's going to get – Ohio State is going to do to Northwestern what Herman Boone and Coach Yost did in Remember the Titans to the team at the end when he said, remember the night they played the Titans. There is no chance Ohio State is going to kill Northwestern.
Yep.
They're gonna play against Illinois this week? Are you kidding me? I'm taking.
Yep, taking all the way.
Okay. USC, UCLA. USC minus 3.5 in the Rose Bowl. It's that L.A. cool battle where USC wears red, UCLA wears blue. I don't know. Give me the points. I'm taking.
Yep, taking there too. That was
pretty easy. I like where we're going with this.
Yep.
This game just had to make the list because you talk about, like, Dallas and the Bengals. This is the shit game of college, but you have to talk about it.
Yep.
Duke is at Florida State. Oof. And for God's sakes, Florida State is minus 5. I'm calling this the no-choice play because we've been calling this the no-choice play for a long, long time. Yep. So for Mo, for Stanford Steve, and all the people that have been participating in laying and taking – this is a no-choice play, and I am going with Florida State because Mo would take Duke. So, fuck it. I'm laying. What do you got?
You're right. Mo would take Duke. That's why you lay.
That's right. Lay it. That's it. All right. Second to last game is the get-back game of the night and usually would be last in playing, laying or taking, but I had to get to the second to last game here. UNLV is traveling to the island of Hawaii. And their Hawaii is laying only 20 points. Everyone's going to have action on this, whether you're doubling up or chasing your losses.
Right.
This is an easy one for me. I'm laying. I don't think UNLV scores more than 17 points.
No, exactly. And that's why you go with Hawaii. Yep.
All right. And the last one of laying or taking has been the last one for weeks now. And my man Mo at He These Takes is not here to take the other side. We got a huge win last week at home on the teal turf and the Shants, the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers were catching 11 plus 350 on the money line against BYU. They win the game. Yep. So what do they get? They get to go on the road and lay 13.5 to Troy. What are you doing, laying or taking?
Oh, man. I'm Coastal Carolina all the way, man. I am Coastal Carolina all the way. I'm laying them here.
Can't get off it now, right? And this is the game they're not going to cover. Like this one hurts. This is the game they're not going to cover, but we got to lay it. We're seeing this thing all the way through. We're way ahead. They cashed so many tickets for us on the way. We can't jump off the bandwagon now.
Nope.
It's lay the wood with Coastal. All right.
And throw the last one in that's not laying and taken, Army-Navy under.
Army-Navy under, which is 14 years in a row that game has gone under. And now this is the first time since 1944, I got this from another show, that it's been played on a day with other games. It's always been the single game because COVID pushed the schedule back. Yep. So it's usually the single game on Saturday. And when you look in the rotation, you can't even find it. And I was like, why? It's never been like this. Well, that's why. It's in the rotation list with a bunch of other games. Right. So – watch the pageantry because they're letting the kids go to the game. It's going to be really good. Yep. So keep an eye on that one. Bet it under. I think it's 37.5, 38, whatever it is. It's under 14 years in a row. We'll see how good Carl's power is to see if we can get that game to go over. We really got something right now for sure.
Right.
All right. Last thing we got is take a minute before we get to that. I just want to mention that the Digital Gaming Today subscription is $185 for the year. With that, you get award-winning content, analysis, stats, picks, casino industry news, and more. You get a Don Best feed with real-time lines and scores from 6 Vegas sportsbooks. You get links to casino deals and sportsbook app signups. You even get the Gaming Today newspaper in digital form. Just go to gamingtoday.com cashconsideration.com/register. All right. So, you know, we didn't have Jerry here, but I just want to, you know, before I forget, thank Jerry Shoebox for joining us. He's at JJSS64. I'm sure I'll get to him after the show and shoot him a text or send him a DM. But he's on Twitter. He's starting to participate. Great stories. The guy lived it, is still living it. He doesn't have his ability to say, take a minute, but I'm sure we're going to have him on again. Our other boys that aren't here, at Percent Berg, Alan Berg, at He These Takes, Mo Pearson, at Gaming Today News, Howard Barish, all not here, absent, sir, not present, but, you know, with us in spirit. I appreciate those guys along the way. Carl, yep. You killed it last week, brother. You killed it. You got 1 minute. The boys are listening. I don't know. Did the wife listen to the show?
She did not. She heard me take a minute, and that's all she could take was that minute.
She's been taking a minute from you for how long? I mean, how long have you been married?
Just 2 years. This is a new one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so
yeah.
She ain't ever listening to your shit. Forget it. You ain't getting,
exactly.
You're lucky you get a minute. That's perfect. All right. Ready? Set, go.
So I woke up this morning and took a look at the calendar, and I thought something was wrong because I thought it was February, because in New England, football season ends in February. But not after last night, man. Football season ended pretty early for us. The only thing we've got left to look forward to is week 17 and hoping like hell that we can beat the Jets in week 17. So I did a little bit of digging, and since 1978 – there have been 10 teams that have gone 1-15 on the season. Thankfully, not one of those teams won their game in the last week of the season.
Oh.
So we got that going for us. With any luck, the Jets are going to win in the next 3 weeks or they're going winless. So that's what we have to look forward to in New England. And now we're on to hockey season. Hockey season starts in December this year. That's my minute, man.
That's perfect. He is out. Very good job. You hit the mark, too, with the minute. And I got a hockey guy on top of everything else.
Oh, yeah.
I find you out in New Hampshire, and you're a hockey guy.
Yep.
Dude, you got a spot on the show. Listen, the other guys left us. They heard you, you last week, and now, like, Mo's, like, disappeared. I don't know. Yep. He's nowhere to be found. I seriously think he's trying to learn Hebrew. I think he just wants to go wow everybody and give him a little,
wants,
you know,
to be at melech, the bar mitzvah.
Little Baruch Melech. He's working on the ch. So, all right. Before I move on, again, I'm doing a lot of different things, and I'm getting a lot of different opportunities. I'm meeting some really great people, and I just need to thank them before I take my minute. My guy, Tim Murray, at one Tim Murray, and Jacob, the producer over there at VEASAN. You guys, we had a blast. We're going to continue to have a blast when I get these appearances, and who knows where it's going to go. Reynolds is still unavailable. I mean, the price has doubled. I'm telling you all right now. I know you're listening to the show. The price has doubled. He'll come, but you got to pay. You got to bring two buckets, like Jerry said. Not one bucket. We're bringing two buckets, okay?
I want to be clear that on that, because his two buckets was a lot different than what you're talking about. let's not conflate those, all right?
You're right. I did it again. I went from point A to point C and didn't think about point B in the middle. You're right. That was a big jump to make. Two different buckets. That's absolutely right. Reynolds, I am Reynolds 2305. Always keeping me in line. Very true. At Sports Talk Matt, he's doing a show called The Daily Juice, which if you're not listening to, you should. He is my boy. He is my partner in the Westgate Reboot Contest. When you check the standings, you'll notice that the Bostonian and the Book are 1 point out of the lead with 4 weeks to go. We have been on fire thanks to him and me. You know, I do the show 2 or 3 times a week with him on Pushing the Odds. And he's on a 24-5 run, boys and girls. He's on fucking fire. He's taking bad numbers and winning. He's taking good numbers and winning. It doesn't matter what he touches. He's winning. So follow along with him. Give him – he's very active on Twitter. He's great. I just needed to mention him before I moved on. All right. My take-a-minute segment starts right now. So I wrote a story time today. You can find it on Twitter at SportsBKConsig. about the number three and it being an important number when you make wagers and games falling on three. Today is my three-month anniversary from a stroke, and I wrote about it on Twitter. It was unbelievable. It brought so many memories to my mind, and I'm writing it, and I think it will move you. If it doesn't, find your heart, because it'll get there somewhere. But I just needed to shout out to my, you know, Nonnie D, my grandma. That's mostly what the story was about, but it was about a guy named John who was husband number three. And I love this guy, and he had a stroke. From that stroke, he never spoke again. He never said a single word after that stroke. He never used his right arm again. He never really smiled like he used to have his gregarious, hearty laugh. Never did it again, ever, ever. And this three thing just came to me today, and it really hit home how lucky I fucking am to come on here and share these stories with you and talk about all this stuff. I'm beyond blessed. I share the story on Twitter, forward it, print it out, share it with someone who doesn't have Twitter, and just say, hey, what do you think of this story? It's pretty cool, isn't it? I know this guy. And, you know, for someone that has a stroke, know the conditions of a stroke, know the signs of a stroke, get help when someone's maybe having a stroke, because I'm learning about it every day and I cannot shut up about it. So I really appreciate that. The last thing I wanted to mention was today I got a call to do a follow-up appointment with Dr. D. Dr. D is the guy that I met the first time in the follow-up who, after a very nice visit and a guy in a mask talking like this, says, would you like to do a prostate exam today or would you like to come back at a different time? I said, no, today. What do I know? Sure, check it. And he just like, oh, perfect. Stand up and bend over, drop your drawers. And he did it. So Dr. D and I, you know, just like that, if you're on YouTube, it just kind of went just like that. Two fingers, check it out. Dr. D and I didn't know each other. We still don't know each other. I only seen the guy through his eyes. I said, at one point, can you please pull your mask down? And he said no. So Dr. D's office called today after I did some blood work, and Regina called me. And she said, hi, I'm calling to let you know your results of your blood work. Hey, perfect. What's your name? Regina. Regina, how are you? I'm Dave. What's the deal? Everything looks great, except you're a little high on your sugar. You got to really start exercising. Dr. D wants you to start exercising again. Perfect. I'll do it, Regina. She goes, okay, well, I said, you know, I have an appointment next week to come in and see him. She goes, oh, no, I can cancel that. That's all he needed to tell you. I said, you know what? Keep the appointment. I got to see Dr. D because Dr. D and I got to really get to know each other a little better after what he did to me. She goes, what do you mean? I said, well, he gave me a prostate exam. I only known him for 10 minutes. I still haven't even seen his face. He was wearing a mask. She started fucking dying laughing on the phone, trying to be cordial in the office. I killed it. I killed it with Regina. I can't wait to go meet Regina, make someone's day, and make them fucking laugh. That's what we got to do in this fucking pandemic. Have fun and, you know, talk about sports, whatever you got to do, but really just enjoy life a little bit. So that's my take, my 3 minutes over the total again. That's the goddamn best bet on the board every week, boys and girls. Bet the over when Big Dave gets to take a minute. That is it. We are gone, all right? 2 weeks before Christmas. Somebody please find me a fucking PS5. Anyone please DM me. I'll pay you. I will pay you. I need a PS5. That's it. For the boys, Reynolds, producing the show. He is the fucking greatest, pulling a double shift today at the studio. I am Reynolds, 2305. Carl Haskell. That is at Carl, CarlHascall, at Carl Haskell. He's the coordinating producer of the show. He's the social media manager of the show. And now he's the fucking co-host. Welcome to the show, Carl. We'll talk to the wife. The boys, listen, he's staying. You guys are going to have to be guests on Carl's fucking show because he's here now. So I know you're listening. Tell your stepmom. She got to listen to the show too now. That's it for me. I am at SportsBK Consig, Sportsbook Consigliere, Big Dave Sherapin. Talk to you guys next week.